Now there are other methods which are called the method of dharma. Where the emphasis falls upon instrument of action. Yet again you are not told as to how you have come into this trouble. You are told that if you want to come out of this trouble, then you take recourse to dharma. What is dharma? We are told it's a very difficult subject. But if you want to know in a minimum way, it is all that is explained in the Veda. What is dharma, what is not dharma, being a very difficult subject, the easiest answer is that you open the book called the Veda, and whatever is prescribed there is dharma. And you follow it, and when you do it, you will attain to liberation, moksha. Now this process is a very intricate process, much longer process than the other processes which I have described so far. First it says that your mind should be so developed as to have the desire to avoid evil and to do good. At least that much should be the preparation. A human being should be so developed, his body, life and mind should be so developed that he arrives at a point where he feels, I must avoid evil and I must do the good. Now whatever thing may help you to arrive at this point is good for you. That's the first minimum condition. You can either educate the child from the beginning saying, don't do evil actions, do always good things. Brainwash the child right from childhood. That is also good if you can succeed in doing so. Or else you reason with the child and say, look, if you do evil actions, then such will be the consequences. If you do good actions, such will be the consequences. Therefore, it is good to choose good rather than evil. Or you may experience in your life sometimes you have done so many evil actions and sometimes you really come into an abyss and you really find yourself all your constructions falling down. Then you realize, my Lord, I have heaped sin upon sin in my life and I will now never go into it, I will never do it again. You take for example what Othello did to Desdemona. You know the story of Desdemona and Othello. Othello and Desdemona were deeply in love with each other, they married with each other, escaping from their own house. And then, somehow, at a certain time, a third party began to influence Othello. Iago began to arouse jealousy in the mind of Othello, saying that his wife is unfaithful to him. And he would not believe it. But ultimately, he showed a handkerchief as a proof that, look, the handkerchief that you have given is in my possession. How could it be? If your wife was faithful, she gave it to somebody from where I obtained. Now, this proof was so clinching for him that he could not for a moment doubt it. And he was filled with jealousy and he went straight home and asked for the handkerchief, and when she could not produce the handkerchief, and when she began to give some kind of an answer of which she was herself not aware, because the handkerchief was stolen away by her maidservant for creating this kind of a trail. Then his suspicion became so great that he became mad in his rage, and he simply smothered her and killed her. And after this, maidservant came and told him the story as to what had happened to the handkerchief, and came to know the reality. And then in that situation he really realized that he had done something really evil, a real realization. And he felt that he should have never done it. For him at least the solution was that he killed himself after that. But a person can reach a situation in which one finds really the experience of evil and feels that such a thing should never, never happen. The real nature of evil is that when it is realized, you feel like blotting it out. That's the meaning of evil. Evil is a situation or an action or an instrument or a thing which, seen in a particular light, is felt to be so inconsistent with your highest that you would like to blot it out. That is the meaning of evil. So you may have to reach that point if you are not taught from the beginning in your education as to what is good and what is evil, and if you are not trained in goodness. But as in your experience, you will reach the point where you will really ask yourself, what is good? How can I avoid in my life in future so that I am not trapped again in the situation where I will do evil and have these consequences? So according to this teaching, it is best that you are told what is dharma, and then you follow it very rigorously, what is dharma. Now you are told that you read the Veda and you find out what is dharma from the Veda, but Veda itself is so difficult. So it is said that the first dharma is to study Veda. That is the first dharma. If you read the Veda, at least if you read Veda, that is the first dharmic action you will do. Akhilo Vedo Dharmasya Moolam. The entire Veda is the origin of the dharma, it is said. So study of the Veda is itself prescribed as dharma. But then, when people have read the Veda, they have found that Veda, so many interpretations of it, that today if you ask me a question as to what is in the Veda, I have to give a long answer which will fill thousands of pages, because there are so many answers to this question. In due course of time, therefore, in India, we had a system of smriti. Veda is called shruti, but then came a system of smriti, and we are told that if you, that being a very difficult thing, you just see what is written in the smriti. Therefore you have Manusmriti, Narada smriti, Yajnavalkya smriti. There are many smritis in which what is dharma is given. So you follow what is in the smriti. But again, if you read the smriti today, you will find there are so many things which are unacceptable today. So it is said in India that smritis have to be refreshed from age to age. Unfortunately, today there is no new smriti being written. That is one of the big difficulties. That is why in India today, there is, whenever anybody goes in search as to what is to be done, we are in a perplexity. Some people are told, you read Ramayana, all that is in the Veda is in the Ramayana. Some people say, you go to Mahabharata, it tells you everything that is in the Veda. You follow Rama, because Ramayana is centered around Rama, or you follow Krishna because it is centered around, Mahabharata is centered around Krishna. And yet you are not getting satisfactory answers because Rama and Krishna themselves are quite different personalities. So whom to follow? Even there is a question. Anybody who seriously thinks about this question, there is a very difficult arena to cross. Or you are told, you read Puranas because all the Puranas are expositions of the Veda. Or you are told, you read Smritis, but there are so many Smritis, so you don't know which Smriti to follow, and then even Smritis are out of date. Or you read the Bhagavad Gita, they say it is the smallest book. Out of all this, Bhagavad Gita is the smallest, so you read the Bhagavad Gita and follow the Bhagavad Gita. But again, Bhagavad Gita is interpreted by so many different people. So again there is a perplexity. Whose Bhagavad Gita you should read? Whose teaching? Whose interpretation? That is another problem. So in other words, today in India, there is a great perplexity. For those who want to follow the path of Dharma, there is a tremendous difficulty today. And then added to the present anarchy, we are told now that we have new values, new dharma. Secularism is another dharma of today. And liberty, equality, fraternity, these are new dharmas of present day. And you follow them. And unless you are thought out quite vividly and deeply and subtly, we are all in a mess, in fact. We don't know where to turn. In any case, the sum total of the movement of dharma is only one thing. You purify your nature. By means of goodwill. This is the basic, you might say. You leave out all other things, all complexities. The essence of all dharma is goodwill. Develop your goodwill to the utmost. And anything that is opposed to goodwill is impurity. So clarify your impurities, throw them out. Your mind should be so much developed in goodwill, so that mind is drenched as it were in goodwill. You may be able to do many good actions or not, it's a different question. But minimum thing is goodwill. Because when the question of acting out of goodwill is concerned, there may be many, many difficulties. Some even prescribe that you should do works of charity. Among professions, you are told it is good to be a doctor because that is an automatic profession in which you help others automatically. Serve the sick, education, educate the children. These are called dharmic actions from that point of view, in the sense that you do all actions of goodwill. It does not satisfy the modern mind, because modern mind is more dynamic and more active. Why should lawyer's work not be regarded as dharma? Why not? He is helping the society as much as anybody else. Why should a captain of industry not be regarded as a man who can do a lot of good to the whole society? Why not? So the questions of the modern mind are many more complex. But even there, the general answer that could be given is that if any one of them is doing work with goodwill, that's a good instrument. Now once you reach that point where the mind is drenched with goodwill, this is the method. Now comes the point of liberation. Once you reach the point where the mind is drenched with goodwill, then you begin to perceive the supreme good, which is not here on this earth. You begin to perceive the supreme good. And then you are enabled to come out of the clutches of all that is here, and you are liberated from the world merely by perception of the good. By developing goodwill to the highest point, you are enabled to perceive the good, the supreme good. This can come only by practice of goodwill. What is the supreme good? You will really realize when you practice goodwill to the utmost. And when you perceive the supreme good, there is a kind of a liberation that will come out, which will make you come out of this mess in which you are. You will be liberated. This is the third method.